our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel for this Sunday, the 22nd chapter of St. Matthew, the first verse. And again Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son." One of the highlights of my first trip to Germany, now more than 40 years ago, was a visit to St. Thomas Church in the city of Leipzig, where for many years Johann Sebastian Bach was the organist and choirmaster. There can be no doubt that Bach was one of the greatest musicians who ever lived. In his work at St. Thomas Church, he, among other things, provided at least one cantata, sometimes several cantatas, for every Sunday and festival of the Christian year. His cantata for this Sunday, the 20th Sunday after Trinity, is based on that great communion hymn we're singing this morning, "Soul, adorn thyself with gladness." The text of this wonderful hymn was written by Johann Franck, who was a layman and indeed a lawyer, who lived during the terrible 30 Years' War in 17th century Germany. The lovely tune for this hymn was composed by Johann Kruger, who also lived during the 30 Years' War and was for many years the organist and choirmaster at St. Nicholas Church in Berlin. Kruger is the composer of many beautiful tunes, including that familiar hymn, "Now thank we all our God." How much poorer the world would be without the marvelous works of Johann Franck and Johann Kruger and J.S. Bach. In the hymn we're singing this morning, Johann Franck addresses the person about to receive communion with these words, "Soul, adorn thyself with gladness, leave behind all gloom and sadness, come into the daylight splendor, there with joy thy praises render. There with joy thy praises render." And it is this note of joy which resounds through all the readings from Holy Scripture on this Lord's Day. First of all, we hear the prophet Isaiah's words, inviting all who are hungry and thirsty to come to the banquet of God's freely given mercy and goodness. Then we hear St. Paul exhorting the Christians in Ephesus to to address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord always, and for everything giving thanks. And finally, we hear in the Gospel our Lord's wonderful parable about the king who prepares a wedding banquet for his son. Yes, it is the note of joy which sounds in all the readings for this Lord's Day. And so we sing, soul, adorn thyself with gladness, leave behind all gloom and sadness. For the holy sacrament we celebrate on this and every Lord's Day is truly a heavenly feast of love and joy. But in the Gospel for this day, we hear not only the unmistakable note of joy in the king's gracious invitation to the wedding banquet of his son, we also hear the unmistakable note of judgment on those who refuse his gracious invitation. Some of them make excuses, and others even seize the king's messengers, mistreat them, and even murder them. And Jesus says the king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. And finally, there's that person who comes to the wedding banquet but can't be bothered to dress for the occasion. When the king asks him to explain his behavior, he's simply speechless. He has no excuse. And the king tells his servants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. This note of judgment provides a dramatic contrast to the joy of the royal wedding banquet. So what does this all mean? Well, this parable is one of several parables Jesus told in Jerusalem during the last week of his earthly life, parables intended as a final call to repentance. The parables recall God's choice of Israel to be his people, to be the choice vineyard of God's planting. But the parables also vividly recall the terrible ingratitude of his ancient people, their indifference to his words spoken through the prophets, hating them, rejecting them, even killing them, a pattern of disobedience that now is about to reach its climax. For St. Matthew tells us that after Jesus told these parables, they tried to arrest him because they realized that Jesus' parables were in fact a word of judgment on them. Aided by the traitor Judas, they finally succeed in arresting Jesus, condemning him, handing him over to the Roman governor, who reluctantly gave the order to crucify Jesus. In all of this, they spurn the heavenly king's invitation to the royal wedding banquet of his son. The royal wedding banquet, yes, the royal wedding banquet. There is a sense in which the whole story of our salvation can be said to be a love story. Because the story of salvation begins with the marriage of our first parents in the garden, and it ends with the marriage supper of the Lamb. In the Old Testament scriptures, the relationship between God and his ancient people, Israel, is often portrayed as that of a bridegroom and his bride. And when God in the flesh finally appears in this world, his forerunner, John the Baptist, speaks of himself as the friend of the bridegroom. And Christ, in fact, calls himself the bridegroom. For when people ask Jesus why John's disciples fasted but his didn't, Jesus replies in this way: can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast, but the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. And St. Paul speaks of marriage as pointing to the mystery of the union of Christ, the heavenly bridegroom, with his bride, the church, as we sing in that familiar hymn, "From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride." And in the book of Revelation, St. John speaks of the heavenly marriage supper of the Lamb, of which the sacrament we celebrate is both the pledge and the foretaste. And so in Johann Franck's wonderful communion hymn, we not only sing, "Soul, adorn thyself with gladness," we also sing, "Hasten as a bride to meet him." Because the Holy Sacrament is indeed a wedding banquet, a celebration of the wedding of heaven and earth, of God and man in Jesus. But the royal wedding banquet in the gospel for today is just one of many examples of how in his written word God uses the imagery of marriage. Marriage as the lifelong union of man and wife is not something human beings have made up, invented. It's in fact God the Creator's work, which God uses in his written word as a revealed image of his redeeming, saving work. And so, the present day rejection of the God-given reality of marriage as being the union of one man and one woman is not only a rejection of marriage as created and given by God our Maker. This counterfeit, this made-up thing, also obscures and does damage to the revelation of God in His written word. And the fact that this rejection of God-created reality has now been made legal by inventing a counterfeit so-called marriage as a union of any two persons can only be a cause for sadness, a cause for repentance. When in the parable we hear of the person who was cast into the outer darkness because he failed to wear a wedding garment, we are in fact being told that without repentance, there can be no place at the king's wedding banquet. Yes, everyone without exception is called to that banquet. And everyone without exception is called to repentance, to faith in the King's Son, whose death atones for our sin, and who in baptism clothes us in the spotless robe of Jesus' blood and righteousness. How often my thoughts turn to the simple words, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my jewels are, my glorious dress. In these before my God I'll stand when I shall reach the heavenly land. The heavenly King has prepared a feast for everyone without exception. He invites everyone without exception to the feast. And he calls everyone without exception to repentance. And he provides every penitent sinner with the wedding garment of his Son's blood and righteousness. He invites you and me now to the wedding feast of his Son's body and blood, mysteriously yet truly present in this heavenly feast of love and joy. The feast is ready. Come to the feast, the good and the bad, come and be glad. Greatest and least, come to the feast. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. And now, having heard the word of God, let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten.